This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
The Chris Hoke Show, brought to you by McVeigh Plumbing and Heating, Steelers two-time Super Bowl winner, sitting right across from me. He used to line up across from gigantic men on the Steelers defensive line at a stadium not far from here. It's always unreal when I'm sitting with a pro athlete like you that you actually did it. You walked into a stadium where fans were going absolutely crazy. You couldn't hear yourself think. Yeah. You were in the Colosseum. You were in the Roman Colosseum, and you were in it, man.
I know.
You were at that line of scrimmage. You're a gladiator.
I know. Sometimes when I go to the games, but for pregame, I'm on the field watching them warm up, or they're close to the field, and I'm thinking, man, I did this for 11 years, not just for like a season or half a season, for 11 years. And it kind of blows my mind because, you watch these guys, and it's the speed and the tenacity and the violence of the game. And you're going, I don't even know how I got out of this game walking.
Do you miss it?
Absolutely.
What aspect more than any other?
Like everybody says, you miss being around their teammates. I mean, those brotherhoods, those relationships that you have when you play, I mean, they're second to none. I take it back. My relationship with my wife is number one. But other than that, in my family, those are the most important relationships. And so it's you miss that, but you also miss the competition, man. I mean, listen, the reality is to go out there and be able to line up and feel the energy from Steeler Nation and be able to just go out there and battle. There's no other place like it.
Have you found anything else? And I know a lot of former athletes I talk to say, no, I haven't, to this question. Anything to replace the competitive aspect of the game? Is there anything else you could do?
I mean, I work out, I try to stay in shape, and some people around me probably think that I'm so intense because that's like, I don't know how to be a different way.
Yeah.
Right. And so the intensity, the tenacity is still there, but it just manifests itself in other areas. But I haven't found anything to really scratch that itch.
You ever pop in an old game tape?
No, my kids will send me videos, right? They'll send me video clips of me playing. They love to watch that. And but I really don't. I didn't like to watch myself other than watching film with the coaches and breaking it down on my own. I never really went back and watched the film of the games. It just wasn't my style. I don't know why. I maybe felt uncomfortable. I don't know what it was.
You ever get an old memory spark up of anything?
Absolutely.
A funny moment or a game moment and text one of your old buddies from the team?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. From time to time it happens, whether it's college or whether it's, with the Steelers, right? The other day I was texting with Ham. Big snack.
Casey Hampton,
yeah,
big
I was
snack.
Texting with him, and it was great. And, they'll text with, the other guys that I played with. But here's the great thing about the time that we had with the Steelers in those years is, when you win a lot of ball games, you win playoff games, you win Super Bowls, you develop not just teammates, you're brothers. And so when you come together, it's a brotherhood that lasts forever. And it's incredible, right? I mean, and that's the thing that's so great about the Steelers is I might not see somebody for a year, and then we're together at a function, and it's like we pick up where we left off. It's beautiful.
I think there's that Fred Shiro quote from when he ran the Flyers and they won a couple cups. Win together today, walk together forever.
Forever. Yeah, it's absolutely that.
The other thing I've heard from people, I remember doing a Pirates reunion story 30 years after 79, something like that, and Tecolvi told me, it's unbelievable. It's 30 years later, but when we gather in a room, everybody goes back to sort of their locker room personality.
Yeah. Yes.
Even the particular guys that you used to razz the most, that happens?
Absolutely. You go right back to that how things were in those dynamics, right? And I just think it's awesome, man. I mean, here's the thing, too, Joe, is when I played, right, everybody was in different phases of life. Some guys were married and having kids. Some guys were single and chasing girls. Some guys were – they were in different places in life, right?
Yeah.
And so there were certain guys that you were friends with but that you probably didn't run around with, you know, on a Friday night, right, or Sunday night after a game. And now when you come together, everybody's pretty much in the same place now, right? Everybody has a family, most largely. And so everybody comes together. And it's like, even though I didn't hang out with that guy, we didn't run around Pittsburgh together, and I would go home and have my kids, they'd still be out and they're single. We come together now, it's like we're brothers. It's like we were super close back then. And it's really cool because even though we were just teammates and we were friends, we weren't super close. Now it's different.
Did you have one guy, maybe a closest friend on the team? Was it Casey?
Well, I think I was close to, like, I mean, you're really close to the guys that you're in meetings with all the time. So I was really close to the Casey and Kiesel and Aaron Smith and Travis Kersky and Nick Eason and Bailey and those guys. You know, and there are other guys that I connected with on the team. But those are the guys that were, I would say, like, my closest friends because I was with them all the time. I mean, I was with them more than I was with my family when I was with my wife. During the season.
And same with me and Ron. Yeah, seriously, when I worked with Ron.
So you're together all the time, right?
And
so
imagine being consigned to that fate, spending more time with Ron than your family.
Think about that for eternity. All right, that'd be crazy, wouldn't it? No, but that's the reality. So, yeah, I mean, those guys.
If he's greeting me up there, I'm going to be pissed. I'll tell you that. If I get there and Ron's the one
greeting think,
me.
I don't think he'll be pissed to be greeting you.
I am not going to be happy.
No. There's worse things.
Yeah, there are.
He could be greeted by somebody else who's down under.
He's true. He's a nice man, Ron. And I do miss him.
I miss Ron.
On days like today. Well, what they're trying to do now, Hokie, is recreate some of those days.
Yeah.
Starting with this defense. I have put out there this week, and I know there's tons of football to play. I get it. But all we have is 3 weeks to make judgments and predictions and things. I think if this defense stays healthy, it has a real chance to be Mike Tomlin's best since 2010, the year that you guys went to the Super Bowl and played Green Bay. I think it could be.
Absolutely. Let me tell you something. That the key you just said there is health. They've got to stay healthy, right? Alex Highsmith just got hurt. Corey Trice, who's, you know, their top backup at corner. So now how big of that drop is it going to be if one of those corners go down, right? But That is the number one key. That's the thing that you have to keep an eye on. But right now, let me tell you something. They got a guy, you know, TJ Watt, who is a game changer. He's a game wrecker. And so if you're not going to double team him, he will impact the game, right? If you're not chipping him with that tight end, he will get in the backfield. He will do something to change your game plan. He'll do something to turn the tide and momentum in the game. And then you have a bunch of guys that are, I mean, this is the fastest I've seen the Steelers defense in a long time.
Yeah.
They're flying to the ball. I mean, Patrick Queen in the middle. I had mentioned in the beginning, you know, the first couple of weeks, I thought that he started out slow. I mean, last week he was all over the place. From the very first play, he had a solid hit and just kept playing tough, playing fast. And then you're looking at right now, and the additions of Deshaun Elliott and Dante Jackson, two guys that are really fast. And then when you see Joey Porter Jr. getting in the run game, I mean, Joey Porter's never been known for tackling. That's never been his strength, right? He's always been a coverage guy. You see him coming in the backfield and getting tackles for a loss and beating guys, coming off blocks. I mean, when you get that element, what makes a really good, tough defense is if your corners get in on the run game. It's very difficult to move the ball on a team like that.
And then you have Herbig shot out of a cannon coming off
the
bench. What do you project will happen this weekend? Do you think that Herbig will start? Do you think DeMarvin Leal will start? Like, what are we going to see? Do you trust?
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things, like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life. But that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Herbig against the run, things like that. Yeah. I'm so curious about.
Well, Coach Thomas said Herbig's going to run. I think he's going to start, and I think you're going to see a lot of DeMarvin Leal because he's so position flexible. And what's going to be interesting to me is we know that Herbig can rush the passer. He's so quick off the ball. So these big physical offensive linemen, they just can't get back in their sets fast enough, right? And they to beat him, to block him off the edge. He's so quick. What I'm interested to see is, will he be able to hold up on the edge? We know on the outside zones, the outside runs to the line, to the sideline and those kind of runs, he could play down the line. But if can he line up and when somebody runs right at you and you get doubled, right, with a tackle and a tight end, or when you get a tackle coming right off on you, can you hold the point? That was a real big strength of Alex Highsmith, being able to set the edge and make a running back either cut back or bounce. Will Herbig be able to do that? What's going to help him is he has Cam Hayward playing as good a football as ever played at right next to him, who's just playing lights out. And so that's going to be a help to him. That's what I want to see. Can he hold up in the run game when they run right at you? And it's going to be a test this week because Jonathan Taylor's a good running back.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Chris Hoke joining me for the whole hour here. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. All right. I mean, the big story, because it's the position, most important position in sports, in my not so humble opinion, Hoke. That's quarterback.
Yeah.
I thought Justin Fields took a big step forward. He can throw to the boundaries. He's got the arm for that. He's precise down the seams. They're thrown to the middle of the field. He's got a nice touch on the short ball. He seems calm, cool, collected, and they put the game in his hands. They passed more than they ran in that game. He won them the game. Your thoughts?
Well, listen, I think that he absolutely took a big step forward, and you're seeing him play football this year like he's never played before. And I think there's a couple reasons why it's happening. I mean, first and foremost, it's the culture here in Pittsburgh, right? It's a winning culture, right? And you have a coach who's confident, coach who's stable, and it's not like a coach who's panicking or a coach that's saying, I got to win games. I mean, Tomlin knows he's going to win. It doesn't have to hope or get fired up or lose his mind to win. And so I think the culture is really helpful for Fields. The other thing is, you got a number one defense in the NFL. How would he respond if he had the defense from last year that after three games was 31st in the NFL? A little different defense,
his
right?
His Bears defense,
No, the Steelers defense last year was 31st in the NFL after three games, right?
Oh, because of the San Francisco game.
Well, it doesn't matter. Right? They were 31st in the NFL. They gave up a lot of yards. I mean, so it's different when you have a defense that's dominating.
Yeah.
I mean, this is as dominant of a defense right now, I mean, as you talked about, Coach Thomas had in a long time. Number one defense in the NFL, number one in giving up points. So you're never playing from behind. Quarterbacks make a lot of mistakes when they're playing from behind or they're trying to catch up.
Yeah.
And so you're looking at it. He doesn't have to press throws. So he's going out there. He's playing either with the lead or within a score of the game, right? And so you go out there and you just play the game plan. You go out there and it's obvious they have one read. And if that read's not open, he's checking it down. Right. And so it's a simple game plan. They're setting it up so it's very, very difficult for him to make mistakes. And he's not pressing out there. And it's great to see, right? He comes up, he knows where to go with the football, and if it's not open, boom, he checks it down. And what else is also another thing that I really like, there's a lot of third and short to third and mediums, right? Where you get yourself in trouble too is when it's third and eight plus.
Yes.
And then you're trying to force the ball down the field. I mean, if you look in the first half of this game, Starkey, I mean, third and five, third and well, they had a third and two, a third and five, third and four, third and three, third and four, third and two, third and 14. That was a bad one, but third and three, third and four, third and 10, third and two. A lot of third and shorts and third and mediums. When you're in that situation, that's why the Steelers this last game were 50% third down conversion, because it's third and manageable.
Third and manageable.
And you're having a lot, and you're not making a lot of mistakes because you're not forcing the ball down the field. And so I think the Steelers are doing a good job of getting ahead of the chains and staying ahead of the chains and not getting behind like that. Now, penalties are going to happen, right? You're going to have a holding. You're going to have other things that are at times going to get you behind. But largely, third and short and third and medium.
Well, speaking of Fields, I don't know if you guys saw this, but he was on Cam's podcast, and he revealed that three other teams had interest in him in the offseason. The Ravens.
Okay.
The Chargers. And the Raiders. So he mentioned something to the effect of two of those teams have quarterbacks already, which was, Lamar and Herbert. So smart not to go there because you're behind.
You're not going to start.
Really talented players. So I guess it probably in his mind, he was thinking Raiders or Steelers, and then it's an organizational decision, right?
Like, well, I think you go to the Raiders, your days are numbered. I mean, listen, you're not going to win a lot of ball games in Las Vegas right now. And so when you're not winning, you're turning over that whole roster trying to find a way to win. Here in Pittsburgh, they'll turn over some positions, but you're not going to turn over that whole roster because they're going to win. They might have a season where they 7 in a row where they don't win a playoff game, but they're going to win games. Right, they're winning games, and so you're not turning over the whole roster like you would somewhere else. And you come here, and Russ Wilson was here, I believe, already. But the reality of that was Russ Wilson's on a 1-year deal, right? I mean, Steelers aren't going to pay him $45 million even back then to come back for another year before this whole calf injury. And so it looked okay. I go there and I compete for the job, but the reality is I can stay there. Russ isn't going to stick around, and I have an opportunity for a long term job in Pittsburgh.
I think he chose well.
Absolutely.
Chose well. And the other thing that stands out is that nobody, including the Steelers, was after Justin Fields as a starter.
Well, he was not playing well.
Yeah.
He was a losing quarterback, and he struggled. And it just shows you, I feel bad for a lot of these college quarterbacks that come out.
Yeah.
Like a Caleb Williams. Like, if he came to Pittsburgh, how would it be different? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you go to an organization that's just a perennial losing team that has no stability in Chicago and where Justin just came from, and you're thinking this guy has a ton of talent. Maybe he'll never reach the top of his ability because he's going somewhere where there's no stability, there's a struggle in the organization, and you see that across the board with some of these losing teams. But if you go to a team where there's a lot of stability and a lot of strength and a coach who's confident and not worried about getting fired every year, you might have an opportunity to be successful. And you're seeing that with Justin right now.
Yeah, I asked some people who have covered the Bears and watched the Bears. I was doing this last night. Tell me what Justin Fields was like to watch on a day-to-day basis. One guy said, held on to the ball a ton, double pumped a ton, didn't go through progressions at all. Another guy who works in Chicago as a sports writer.
Was that Kenny Pickett or Justin Fields?
That's Fields. He's talking about, well, exactly.
it sounds like everybody was saying about Kenny Pickett last year, what we were all saying.
Right. And here's a guy who is a sports writer there, a little too slow to make decisions, sometimes too quick to tuck it and run, but I liked him. He was surrounded by absolute, I'll just say, not good players. I always thought he'd become a really good quarterback once the game started slowing down. That's what it feels like, Koki. Yeah. He never feels rushed or rattled. Do you get that impression?
No, because right now there's nothing to make him rushed or rattled, right? The games have been close. The Steelers have been in the lead. They've been in control, right? A little bit in the game against the Falcons, but not really. But last week, they were down 10-7 at halftime, and it seemed like the Chargers were controlling that game in the first half until Herbert got hurt. But there was no panic. There was, let's just keep the game plan going. Let's keep this game close. We'll find a way to win at the end. And they did.
City Limits was telling me the other day, who was it who said there's executives, coaches maybe in the league who are saying privately, you just wait. Justin Fields is going to make big mistakes. It's coming. Graziano, I think it was him, or Pelissero, didn't agree with that. What do you think? Do you think an upward trajectory continues here?
Yeah, it was.
Or are we in for a rough ride? Who was it?
I had Mike Garafolo. I have the clip if you want it.
Yeah, let's hear the clip.
The two things you hear about the Steelers: one, the skepticism that they can keep winning this way; the other, that you hear from coaches around the league, when is Fields going to start making some mistakes? When is he can't possibly keep playing this clean football? I don't know, man. He keeps doing it, and they're doing a great job of coaching it up and calling it. So I think you can. And if you're a defensive coach who's saying that, let's see if you're playing the Steelers coming up and you can make that happen.
Listen, we're 3 weeks into the season. Let's not get too excited, but we can be happy with how he's played. And the reality is, we haven't seen him make that mistake. He had that interception. I thought that he forced that ball to Cordarrelle Patterson there in the third quarter, right? And Henley was right there. He probably, there was a guy in the flat in the left that was open. Probably should have thrown that little flat route, but he forced that ball to Cordarrelle. And so, but that's the only mistake he's made in three games. And is he gonna have a bad game? absolutely. Even Mahomes has bad games, right?
Yeah.
Josh Allen has bad games. You and I were talking before the show. So it's going to happen, but the reality is that those are going to be fewer and farther between. And I really believe it's because of the culture and the stability here. It's because of the coaching, right? He has Arthur Smith, who is a bona fide offensive coordinator. And so I think that it's really good. He's in a great place. And let's hope for our sakes that he continues to play well and gets better, because this could be the long-term answer and put the Steelers back.
Percent chance, in your estimation, Dr. Hochenstein,
yeah,
that Russell Wilson never starts a game here.
Never starts a game?
Yep.
I think that at some point, this is a long season, Stark. I can't give a percent, but I think the reality is that you have to believe that, you know, people get knocked out of games all the time. Could he get a concussion? Could he get an ankle? I mean, so many things happen in this game that I think that there's a good chance that Russell Wilson will start a game this year because of just the physicality of the game, not because of play, but because of the physicality and injuries.